This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham and Rod Mullins. We'll be talking NASCAR here on a Wednesday. We're looking back to the past weekend in Vegas and Joey Logano's win there, and then looking ahead to Phoenix. And first, let's go back to the most recent race, Rod, and Joey Logano outduels Brad Keselowski, the Bushes, and Kevin Harvick to get the win. And your thoughts on that race, how it all went down on Sunday?
Well, I know a lot of people would probably view this race as probably one of the most boring races that took place this past weekend because it was, you know, green flag. I don't even recall there was a caution flag during this race, or at least my recollection of it. But still, there was a lot of green flag racing, and we saw a lot of lead changes on green flag racing. That prolonged the stretch there. It was really interesting. Now, if people were tuning in to expect, a lot of side drafting and the nonstop door slamming back and forth, they didn't get that. But in this race, like I said, the record number of green flag lead changes and passes, huge number of cautions, and you also saw some tempers also starting to flare a little bit more. One in particular, again, we're talking about this name, and it's Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. seemed to just get on several drivers' nerves this past weekend, especially Eric Jones. That was one of them. They just kept on trying to figure out why in the world Rick Stenhouse was trying to race so competitively and also so, I guess you could say it, just rough all the way around. Stenhouse has got a lot to prove in this car this year, and I think he's just taking advantage of these rule changes that he's trying to figure out the same way that a lot of these other drivers are doing, how they're going to make this rules package work. But it seems like more than anything else, Penske Racing, Ford, they've got it together already in this first series of the race here. We've gone into three races. And you've got to say that Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski won last week and Logano this past week, they seem to have things together over at Penske right now. You're still kind of wondering, is Stuart Haas out there still in the mix? And one question that came up this past weekend after the race, is Hendrick still a viable race team? Because Jimmy Johnson did not have a good performance this time around. He raced good at Daytona and then didn't race as well at Atlanta here just a couple of weeks ago. And now doesn't race as well at Las Vegas. So a lot of questions there. But you've got to brag on Kurt Busch. Kyle was trying to stay competitive during his race, but Kurt Busch has not only a top five, a top ten finish in this, he's been competitive in all three races so far this season. Really a big shot in the arm for Chip Ganassi Racing. So Kurt Busch has been a big welcome addition over there at Chip Ganassi Racing. While on the other hand, Penske and them seem to have everything together. Now you're wondering, has Joe Gibbs got it together there with Kyle Busch? Denny Hamlin won the Daytona 500. But there's still some question marks there. And then there's also question marks about Stuart Haas. And this whole aero package is starting to shape up even more going into the Phoenix race this coming weekend.
Yeah, I was going to ask that about that next. It seems like maybe until we just get into the season more, maybe a dozen races in, 20 races in, whatever, we won't talk about the rules package and how things are playing differently or whatever the case may be. But now we've got three races under our belt here in 2019. How do you think things are playing out in terms of the new rules? And I guess with this one, you mentioned we didn't have the tight racing that we saw the first 2 weeks. But, how are things playing out now that we have more of a body of work to look at?
I think there's a lot of fans that are watching the races right now, and some of them are still frustrated. They're frustrated with the fact of a lack of horsepower, and I guess you've noticed that probably more than anything else. There's a cutback in the horsepower, and I think I alluded to that probably when this rules package was being formulated, and they kind of brought this out on everybody, and they just told everybody, this is our rules package this year. There was going to be a cutback in horsepower. There's definitely been that so far in these races. Daytona may have not shown it as much as the last few races with Atlanta and also this last one with Las Vegas. But I think we're going to see an even greater impact coming up with Phoenix this coming weekend. There's that lack of horsepower. There is that thing also where you're having a lot of side-to-side racing. You're having some side drafting and different things. A lot of the fans love that sort of package right there because it makes them more competitive. And especially on the restarts, you're seeing more bunched-up racing unless you've got that front-runner car out there in front of clean air. And if that front runner can get that clean air and take off, then they're hard to catch, at least into that first lap or maybe by the second lap after that restart. They're hard to catch. And so we're seeing a change in this this package just a little bit more each time. You know, another thing that I can't get over, too, and I don't know why, we got to the third race, and I noticed just for the first time this past weekend, the spoiler on the back of the car. We're talking this spoiler's almost standing straight up. We're talking that it's, you know, it's setting up, I think, so many inches high, but it's sticking straight up. It's not bent down. It's not at any kind of 45-degree angle. And it's almost sticking straight up, which is generating so much downforce on the rear end of that car. It's keeping that car solid, so to speak. But in one way, it's kind of slowing that car down. But as you go through and somebody else comes back in behind you, that at least opens up a little bit more for that close racing to kind of narrow that aerodynamic disadvantage, so to speak. It kind of narrows that off a little bit more. And it makes the racing much more closer than it has been. So that's the things that I see right now. And I think there's only better things to come. And this is still a work in progress. I think we're going to probably see, we might see a change probably in that light restrictor plate kind of slowing the cars down a little bit of that horsepower, so to speak. I don't think we'll see that until probably way later after Bristol, because we'll probably see some lower horsepower at Bristol. I think the speeds will still be up there, but we'll probably see a little bit lower horsepower at Bristol, which is in fact coming up in about 30 days. So, you know, there's still a lot of racing action in between before we get to Bristol to see what's going to happen.
No question. Through three races, you know, we have some usual suspects at the top of the point standings. It's early, so, you know. But is there anyone surprising that's, you know, having at least a good start to their 2019 season that, you know, you think's emerging maybe that we hadn't foreseen perhaps before the season started?
Well, I think it's Kurt Busch, no doubt about it. Kurt Busch has probably stood out more than anybody else with this whole thing this year. We've got Joey Logano there in the mix. We've got Kevin Harvick in there. Martin Truex not caught up there where he needs to be at. Of course, he's still wanting a race win. He's still wanting to prove that things haven't changed that drastically since moving over to Joe Gibbs Racing. But I think Kurt Busch is the big surprise because there were a lot of people that have kind of, you know, been scratching their heads, so to speak, and just saying, why is Kurt Busch still hanging on in this sport? Kurt Busch, to me, this past weekend has proven why he needs to stay in this sport a little while longer. Has everything gone his way? No, but I think he has finally settled in with a team now that is committed to him just the way that he is committed to a race team before. It's sort of like that that old way when he first got associated with Roger Penske. He was there, and they were committed there for a long time until things started just unraveling and coming apart for Penske and also for Kurt Busch, and then they dropped him. And then he kind of did the journeyman thing. He even drove the Furniture Row car for a short period of time, demonstrated to a lot of people that he was a great driver. And then after being with Stewart Haas, and then finally they didn't exercise the option of picking him up for another year, he turns around and he goes with Chip Ganassi. And I think that Chip Ganassi has given him a home now with that race team of where, you know, Kurt Busch is going to be competitive this year. And he's definitely showing right now. I think he's like fifth in the point standings is the way it goes. So, you know, it's a great start for him. And things can only get better, or something happens, things can only get worse for him. And I'm sure that he's hoping that things only get better for him and that Chip Ganassi racing team.
All right, so let's look ahead. They're still out west. They're in Phoenix this weekend, and some more warm weather out that way. What can we look for this weekend with the race in Phoenix?
Well, with the race in Phoenix, it's going to be a hot situation out there. Of course, they had some snow out in Arizona here a little bit earlier, but the temperatures are going to be up. They're going to have to bring a different kind of tire in there as well as they brought into Las Vegas this past weekend. So, you know, you're going to see a little bit of a different kind of scenario with these cars out there. The track is a little bit different. It's more of a flatter track. It would remind you of a Martinsville, so to speak. It doesn't have the 1.5 mile of the banking in certain areas like it does on some of the other Speedway Motorsports tracks. This ISM track has been redesigned. We got a chance to see it last year in the fall. It produced some very close side-by-side racing and some very competitive racing. I think we'll see probably more of that combined with the new restrictor, if you want to call it that, with the horsepower, the reducing. We probably will see a little bit more, in the way of downforce. I think we'll see whether or not how these cars shoot up or stay low on the track, so to speak, and how they're coming around the turns. I think we'll see a lot more. We may see a lot more caution this week. That'll remain to be seen. But, you know, I really have to say this. We talked about Las Vegas. Here's some big news that I just got this afternoon, and it's just down to the level side to be told. The big thing is that the awards banquet, the final year of this final awards banquet at the end of the NASCAR season has been in Las Vegas. Originally, it was in New York. But now it had been in Las Vegas for a couple of years, and Nashville, Tennessee has secured the rights to the Monster Cup Awards ceremony beginning this year, December 5th. That's a big plus for the city of Nashville, and also kind of one of those things that we've talked about before, Chris, and that is bringing it back home to where NASCAR truly belongs. And to me, that's back in the South, and I'm not being prejudiced about it in any kind of way, but, you know, to me, NASCAR racing, the South, the Mid-Atlantic to that degree, I think it's rightfully so deserving that Nashville got it back. And Darrell Waltrip is just all over Twitter this afternoon, right here after, while we're doing this podcast, and he's just tickled to death that they've been able to secure this and move it to Nashville for the awards ceremony. It's going to be a big plus for the city of Nashville and also for some of the other tracks. I think it could bring some people in, some interested parties from, at least the Bristol area and so to speak, over across East Tennessee, going west. It could be a big-time move for NASCAR this year.
Yeah, you got it. You know, NASCAR, yes, understandably, they're trying to nationalize the sport. They've been for 20 years. But, yes, the roots are here in the Southeast. We're based in Virginia, here in the Southeast. I'm looking forward next week. I'm going to be in Charlotte for the ACC tournament starting Tuesday. I'll be there for the whole week. And one of the features of Uptown Charlotte, I got a little bit of time, at least on Friday and Saturday, is the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And, you know, I'm looking forward to looking forward to going there and taking a tour and just getting some of the sights in there and that kind of thing. And yeah, this is the heart of NASCAR. It's okay for NASCAR to admit that this is where it's based and that's where the fans are. And you want to get the sport out on a national basis, an international basis, certainly. But the heart and soul of NASCAR is here in the Southeast.
Well, I hope you enjoy your time next week when you go down there to the ACC tournament. They say that the Hall of Fame is a really great place to go. I haven't been there, but, you know, Chris, if things work out and you get a chance, make your way out to Charlotte Motor Speedway, because you will be shocked when you go out there and you look at that track. And there's some people out there that would be glad to probably take you on a tour and show you around the track just to see what it's all about and show you that Roval. It'd be a great opportunity for you.
Yeah, I missed it. I covered the Belk Bowl. UVA football played in the Belk Bowl against South Carolina, and I was in Charlotte for that, but I missed the two teams were taken out for a day at the Speedway. I missed that event, so yeah, maybe I'll get out there for that. That will be a fun thing to do in addition to basketball. So yeah, it's a big week coming up there, and looking forward to taking all that in. Well, Rod, final thoughts on the weekend NASCAR here for the podcast?
Well, final thoughts for me, I guess, is we're seeing just changes coming up all the way around, so many different changes, and I guess one other thing that I'm really intrigued about right now, and I'm waiting to see when she will make her debut, at least in the Xfinity Series or something else. is Hallie Deacon, the female driver that has started turning heads. She has she's already racked up one or two wins so far this year, racing in one of the smaller, lesser series. I'm wondering how long it will be before somebody like Kyle Busch, maybe Joe Gibbs, somebody else will latch on to her and bring her up into the ranks and put her into maybe an Xfinity Series car, maybe an ARCA Series car before it's over with, and just see how things are going to go. And my last thing that probably is I'm going to get a chance this weekend, open house down at the new Clay Valley Speedway, formerly Lonesome Pine Speedway. It's an all-dirt track, and I'm looking forward to it because it's going to be my first real time up close watching some of these dirt cars and how they perform on what used to be a very short oval down at Coburg, Virginia, and one of the birthplaces for a lot of these great drivers that NASCAR has seen, Darrell Waltrip, Alec Lewicki, and Dale Earnhardt. But they've gone to dirt this year, and I'm going to actually get a chance to maybe see what's so special about dirt down here at Clay Valley Speedway. We'll tell you more about that next week.
That sounds good. Yeah, every day's closer to spring. We're getting to that time of year. Looking forward to hearing about that next week and more. Well, thanks, Rod, for your time.